Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Joined now by King McClure, ESPN college basketball analyst, former Baylor guard. King, you heard the sound on the way in. Our very own Alan Yates in the control room.
I caught it, King.
Jay didn't slip by. Jay tried to slip it under the radar.
Nah,
all of a sudden,
me.
He's talking about things, material things, that you're like, damn, Yates, you got a...
He got a backyard.
Got a backyard.
Bought a crib.
Yeah, you got a... What's going... How'd that... And then he said, we.
But he hasn't told
anyone on the show about this we.
I'm not even going to lie to you guys. I could not hear the sound bite coming in.
Okay. You're in the sound bite.
Pretty much, King, he was like, oh, yeah, now we got the backyard. You know, we got a patio. I was like, oh, I ain't never heard you say we before. So, Yates, I think we got some explaining to do.
Mm-hmm.
Is something you want to tell us, Yates?
Well, if we really want to get technical, since we're pulling the curtain back here, I remember getting a text from one Jay Williams saying, yo, you and so-and-so should slide to this event in a couple weeks. And
he's pulling your card.
And now all of a sudden, Max, he's like, wait a minute, I didn't know this.
I should have known. So
this
Jay pulled it off like he's
Rickard Monty Bull, man.
Yeah, he's like the detective, but in fact...
He knew the whole time.
You ain't Columbo.
I don't think so-and-so is going to be happy that you called her so-and-so, though.
Because if you drop names, then there's a whole bunch of wild people out here on Twitter. We don't need that.
Yates and so-and-so.
Nikki, that's my wife's name.
Mm-hmm. Well,
Yates.
Well.
You know what? No, that's you right, though, Yates. Y'all coming through the Drake concert, though, right? July 20th, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Right, so
we
good. That's what
better
we
believe.
Yates and so-and-so.
I should have known.
Jay, what do you mean you
should have
known?
Like he was really razor sharp. But in fact,
I caught it.
It's like insider trading.
Well, I would have never disclosed it if he didn't put himself in that situation.
That makes worse. You're digging yourself a deeper hole. So you weren't supposed to say anything.
No. I wouldn't.
He gave you an opening to say something, so you use that as an excuse to put him on blast and also pass it off like you figured it out.
I just caught it. This is good. Look, when your friend publicly states we, that's a big step. That's a big step. That doesn't happen often.
That is true.
That's huge. I'm proud. This is showing maturity. This is showing the next stage for Mr. Alan Yates.
The maturation.
Yes.
You're hustling. Jay,
here comes
hustling.
A new record.
Look at maturation all you've gained Yates. From sitting next to me these last couple
of
years.
I'm proud of my guy.
You're hustling.
It's my guy.
King McClure.
King, is there a we?
Is there a we? Yeah, there's always a we. We is better than me, right?
We is better than me. Say it again.
See, okay. Now 26 years of knowledge.
Okay, I'm just
but
asking.
But King might be using the royal we. We don't know.
King can pivot real quick, though. You see how he just pivoted like that, like a politician?
Yeah.
This boy good. This boy
absolutely.
Good. Look at him. He getting all tense. Look at his armpits sweating. Look at
King, you're going to be on Hoop Streams as part of the NBA draft coverage. Something, you know, people talking about Wembanyama a lot.
Yeah.
And something I brought up earlier in the show, it occurred to me in the last couple of days. I think the best predictor of a guy's career at that level is actually the amount of hype they come out with. The two most hyped prospects ever are Kareem and LeBron. After that, it's like Shaq. And then after that, it's like David Robinson and Patrick Ewing.
No, you can't skip over Yao Ming.
Yao had a ton of hype. He did.
A ton of hype.
But Yao as a
7'6" Chinese player?
He was, but as a player, I don't think he was projected to be very good, and he was next. And oh my God, he said,
He was projected to be more than very good.
No, yeah. And he was. He was very good.
They were projecting him to be a generational type talent.
Yep. I agree.
One of the best the game of basketball has ever seen.
That was up in the air.
I remember it because I lived through it. I remember listening to all the hype around him. Like, he got there. He got voted as an all-star.
Would you say
he was voted in?
On ability, was he as hyped as Shaq? I don't think so.
This is before my era, fellas.
No.
Yeah. Who was the most hyped guy that you've lived through the hype?
I'd put Zion up there.
Yep. Yeah, Zion, for sure.
Zion was definitely up there, for sure.
See, I really think that. I mean, Zion is excellent when he's on the floor.
Yo, we did we did the NBA draft lottery, King, and literally I was in Chicago during that doing it. Mm-hmm. And every pick, we showed Zion. Like every single pick, like when they revealed the 10th pick, it was like Zion, panel screen, Zion. 9th pick, Zion. Like every single, Zion picking his nose, Zion tying his shoes. Whatever it was all focused on Zion.
I would say the difference with the Zion hype was Kareem. There was, back then, it was like, yeah, that could be the best player on a championship team. They'd seen it in college for 3 years, right? LeBron, absolutely the idea is he's supposed to be the best player on a championship team. Same was true as Shaq. Same was true as D-Rob. Same was true with Pat Ewing, right? Like, they were all – Zion, and even Yao Ming, the question is, could they? They were physically different. They were like physical freaks, and the question was, could they be the best player on a championship team? What was your sense of Zion as a prospect?
Well, I was actually playing, right? So I was it was my senior year at Baylor, and it got annoying in a sense. I'm a player. I'm a hooper. I'm a competitor. And every single time you turn on a television screen, no matter if we're playing, no matter if we're playing Kansas, we're playing Texas, Zion is somehow finding a way to implement him and put him on the television screen, kind of like Jay said. So it kind of got annoying. I mean, I wasn't from looking at it from the media perspective, but I'm looking at it from a player side. And
what do you think of him as a player? What was your evaluation of him as a player?
I mean, he was good. He was freakishly athletic. He was good. He was stronger than everybody. He imposed his will every single time he stepped on the court. But as a competitor, I was ready for it. I wanted all the smoke, Max.
Mm-hmm. But, I mean, would you think that's a generational talent? He could be the best player. Because I remember when he came out, the idea was guys shaped like that. Like, he's not going to be a rim protector. Mm-hmm. He's not exactly a perimeter player. He's like this hybrid. Is he like Charles Barkley or Blake Griffin 2.0? Yeah. Or what is that going to be? And we weren't sure. We knew he'd be very good, but we weren't sure what the level was going to be. Was that your feeling also?
Yeah, I really didn't know. Because you're right. I think when you look at generational talent, I mean, he falls in that 6'5", 6'6", category. But he's not a perimeter player. He's more of a down low player. So I didn't really know how that would translate. Mm-hmm. But like you said, when he's on the court, he's very effective.
Very.
But the question is, and the problem is, when will he actually be able to play I'm not going to say full season at this point.
65 games.
Play like 65 games at this point. And that's the question that I feel like everybody right now is wondering, because he's effective. He's good. He's hard to stop.
So here's something that nobody's really talked about yet that I've heard on like the national media scale, is that there's no doubt Victor Wembanyama is going to be the first pick in the draft.
Yeah.
How long is Greg Popovich going to continue to coach?
Yeah. He probably won't be there for the second contract.
How do you handle that? Yeah. Because obviously you want, like, it's like onboarding, right? When you get hired on the job, there's probably nobody better in basketball other than maybe Pat Riley to onboard you throughout the process of learning what it's like to be a pro from an international perspective. So you have to keep him around for Victor's career, don't you, to a degree? Even if it's in some kind of consultation role later. But, like, who's next in line for that position? That's a big thing if I'm Victor Wembanyama. I want to know who I'm going to be coached by for my time here.
When Popovich was there, and he'll be there for a while, but I'm guessing not 7 years, because usually it's always been structured in a way where you got to leave too much money on the table as a top player to leave before 7 years. So sometimes in the sixth season they demand a trade, or they wait till season seven, now they're out and they sign somewhere else, right? Because they get to that second contract and they're incentivized to stay put. I don't think Popovich is going to be coaching another 7 years.
No way.
Does that mean that Wembanyama, should he stay healthy and fulfill this promise, is not going to be with the Spurs for his career, right? Are we going to be talking in a handful of years about, is he going to go to the Knicks? And then he winds up on the Lakers, as always, right? Something like that.
But, I mean, does it really matter who coaches him? I mean, he's Victor Wembanyama. We're talking about a generational talent, right?
Yes.
We're talking about one of the greatest players. If he lives up to the prophecy, we're talking about one of the greatest players to arguably ever play the game of basketball, nothing like we've ever seen. So does it matter who really coaches him?
1,000,000%.
Why?
Is it David Blatt? It mattered for LeBron James? Didn't it?
But you're 7'5". The things that you do instinctually, it doesn't matter who coaches you, in my opinion.
I completely disagree. It matters who coaches you. It mattered who coached Michael Jordan. Like, Michael Jordan didn't win championships with Doug Collins. He won it with Phil Jackson, right? And Winters, Coach Winters, like, all these guys working together. Like, it mattered for LeBron James with David Blatt. Look, LeBron James has ran through coaches before.
Yeah.
Like, so it takes the right coach to learn. Like, it mattered for Eric Spoelstra as it relates to LeBron James, D. Wade, and Chris Bosh with the tutelage of a guy like Pat Riley. It matters who you're coached by. Scheme-wise, how you communicate, how you're getting people to buy in, that matters.
Well, I think, King, if you're saying, does it matter who he's coached by in the sense that he's going to be tremendous regardless?
Yeah.
Yes, I think that is true, because Jordan was tremendous without Phil Jackson.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and a lot of, but the question as to will he fulfill his potential as a championship centerpiece, man, he couldn't be going to a better place than to Greg Popovich, right?
100% when you talk about championships. But I think his level of productivity will be the same no matter who coaches him. Now, will he win? You're right. The coach matters on that part. But he's 7'5". He can do things that we've never seen before. Defensively, he's special. I mean, they're talking about on the low side, his projection is the Anthony Davis.
I mean, on the low side. I was saying Chris Stapps, Porzingis, but right, AD is probably better.
That right there is unreal. We've never seen a unicorn like this. So his level of productivity, I think, will be the same regardless of coach. Now, will he win and be able to fill the greatest player of all time role and piece that we've been talking about? That would depend on the coach. So I agree with you on that part, Jay.
It's interesting because yesterday I was talking on this just in about my max facts at the end of the show, right? So it's the reason I came up with this idea that hype is actually most correlated to production at that level of the draft, mm-hmm. right? The most hyped are the best. The next most hyped are under them, et cetera. Yeah. Is that, you know, David Robinson, Tim Duncan, Victor Wembanyama. He's probably not going to be third on that list if he stays healthy. Think about that for a second. The standard is Tim Duncan and David Robinson. Jeez. And if Victor Wembanyama fulfills his potential, he's probably not going to be third on that list.
The thing that makes him so incredibly special is you're watching his lateral quickness on the perimeter. He's blocking guards' shots the same way he's blocking big shots. And like one of the things we love about AD is AD is a great primary defender. But like Victor Wembanyama is also like a great primary defender on the block, and he's great from the weak side. So there aren't too many holes in his game.
Yeah,
it's just going to be strong guys who can move him, you know, down
low.
He's
playing against strong guys now.
Yeah, but I think in the NBA that will be like, no one's perfect. I think that's going to be an issue early on. Strong, you know, NBA
can
bigs
I just tell you,
who can
if
move
you,
him.
If you're playing with a competent guard, that's a dream.
Right.
Pick and pop, 100%. Coming off. Like, if we're stretching Jokic in pick and rolls, like, if you're running a pick and roll with him, King, I could do that with one leg, Max.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, King will get out there. Just come off. Like, how are you going to guard it?
Right.
You can't go under.
I can't.
You can't go over the top. He can pick and pop. He has high basketball IQ, can make reads.
Yeah, it's sick.
It's a guard's dream.
I want to know. Listen, come up with, I want you to tell me coming up, Jay. What does this do? What does his averages look? What do his numbers look like? As you know, what does that look like? Right? Because we've never seen this before. Are the points crazy? The rebounds crazy? Or are we talking about a combination of steals and blocks? And what are we talking about here? King McClure, ESPN, basketball analyst with us. We know the three biggest names in the draft. Who else should we be focusing on? KJM.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
King McClure, ESPN basketball analyst, former Baylor guard, hanging out with us. He's going to be on Hoop Streams as part of the NBA draft coverage. Listen, tonight, one of the most anticipated drafts ever in the NBA. Victor Wembanyama. You know, I'm always looking. People think like, oh, you're hating on LeBron because you grew up watching Jordan. No, I'm always looking for the guy who's going to be better than Jordan. Like, I always want to see the greatest ever. I just don't, you know, the best ever is usually the guy who's playing now. I'm talking about the greatest ever, the guy who in his day was the...
Well, you can also make the case that that 84 draft class was the best draft class of all time.
You could.
I mean, Michael Jordan, Hakeem Olajuwon, Charles Barkley.
Better than 96?
I mean, they have more championships.
Put it this way. I agree 96 is probably 90, one.
96
but that's
loaded
the
more
competition.
Depth. I mean, if you're doing it via championships.
So my point is, the reason I bring that up is I wonder what is Wembanyama, if you had to do it in numbers, right, what kind of player is he going to be? Is it going to be 22 points and 10 boards but with 5 blocks and 2 steals again? Like, what does this look like? I don't even know what to expect in that way.
Like stat line?
Yeah. What is that? What does a Wembanyama stat line in the NBA look like?
Take a swing at it, King.
I would expect first year, maybe about 20 mm-hmm. to 22 mm-hmm. points per game. I would expect about 10 to 11 rebounds, mm-hmm. rebounds a game.
That's what I was thinking.
About two to three block shots per game.
Because, by the way, block shots on average are not what they used to be. So yeah, three blocks today is like five blocks when I was a kid.
Yeah, I would probably say about 2 to 3 blocks per game because his 8-foot wingspan, I think we undervalue that. And when it comes to strength, everybody keeps talking about he needs to get stronger. He needs to get bigger. He's going to get bullied down low. Well, if you're trying to bully somebody, you still have to shoot over an 8-foot wingspan. That is hard to do no matter how strong, how physical you are. To create that much separation with your physicality, he can overcome that by his wingspan. So I think the 8-foot wingspan is something that we continue to undervalue when we talk about his strength and how big he is and how he needs to muscle up. But I think about 2 to 3 blocks per game. And, yeah.
So Bron averaged 21 points per game, 20.9. We can round up 5.5 rebounds and 5.9 assists per game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Right? So
as a rookie,
I would say that I expect Victor to average more points than LeBron did.
Yeah.
I expect him to have more rebounds.
He's a better shooter and
more rebounds than LeBron did. Like, he should be around, like, with his size and his frame, he should be around to 8 to 9 to 10 rebounds per game. Mm-hmm. He should be almost 100%. Averaging a double-double.
He should average
And his block shots should probably be around, like, he should lead the league in block shots.
As a rookie.
100%.
As a rookie.
How about the assists and all that?
I'm not sure on
that. What's his passing game like, by the way? Does anyone know?
His passing game is not bad. He struggled out of double teams, though. When I was watching this film, he did a bad job of struggling out of double teams. Because mm-hmm. a lot of times he's so tall, you have to send a second defender. So sometimes his passes were a little lazy. They weren't really that accurate. But he's a decent passer. He's not
bad. You know
who
was a bad passer out of college and for a while in his career? People don't remember it anymore because he turned into a very good one. Olajuwon. Hakeem Olajuwon didn't pass the ball. Wasn't good at it early on.
Well, if I saw him a jammer, he didn't have to.
No, I know.
They were so loaded,
but I'm saying the first half of his NBA career, he's an incredible scorer, an incredible defender. He's no passer. Right now, he became a very good one as his career went. But that's the thing. People like to nitpick on the stuff a guy can't do. Like, you'll see a lot of times a guy get posterized by a dunk. You know who gets posterized a lot of times? Good defenders, because they're trying to defend, right? Wembanyama might, like you said, King, he might get moved out of the way, and he'll make it rounds on social media, and that's one play. But meantime, three other plays where he gets moved out of the way blocks the shot anyway, right?
King, let me ask you, because we're talking about, I know we've been talking a lot about Victor Wembanyama, and he deserves to be celebrated. Who do you like more, Brandon Miller or Scoot Henderson, and why?
Ooh, I feel like you cannot go wrong with either one of these picks. If you're the second pick, right, you're the Charlotte Hornets. For me personally,
who do
I'm
you
going,
like more?
Yeah. I'm not going to say who I like more, but who the better fit is
Charlotte
Hornets.
No. Stop changing around my question. you have your own team.
That's cool.
Who
I like
do
more?
You like more and
who
why?
Who do I like more? I like Brandon Miller more.
Why?
I think Brandon Miller is more of a versatile prospect. I think off of the dribble, he can create more. His shot is pure. I think that we've seen what he can do at a high level. When you look at analytics, right? Now, Scoot Henderson is 18 years old, playing against grown men, playing in the G League. When you look at his synergy, look at the analytics, it's not on his side. But when you watch Brandon Miller, I think Brandon Miller, his athleticism, his defensive prowess, his ability to make other people around him better, not necessarily by assist, but his scoring ability is so great. His shooting ability spaces the floor that he made Javon Quinterly, he made Sears, he made Noah Clowney so much better, to the point to where now we're talking about Noah Clowney is almost a first round top 20 pick in the draft, because I think strictly Brandon Miller brought
his gravity,
the best out of those guys.
His gravity,
yes,
in other words,
100%.
Right?
Yeah. And also, I mean, let's not mitigate what he went through. What he went through and still perform at a high level shows me that the kid is locked in and that we have not even seen what he can look like when he's fully focused on just hoops.
How about Scoot Henderson?
I really do like Scoot Henderson. I'm a big fan of Scoot Henderson, but when you look at his numbers in the G League, it really didn't stand out and impress me. I mean, I think his athleticism is out of this world. I think he has an ability to make good reads off of pick and roll. I think his shot needs to improve, specifically off the three. Great handle to him, and I think he's a willing defender. And the thing I like the most about Scoot Henderson is he has just that dog in him. And I heard he's a worker. I heard he is going to outwork everybody, and he wants to be the very best point guard. So I believe in him, and I think that he has the ability to honestly become that all-star level player.
You know, as you're saying that, really what this draft is going to come down to and the activity around the draft is what you said about the analytics and the fact that what he did in the G League and the fact that he doesn't shoot it very well, given his size, he's a small 6'2 or something. It's going to come down to, does Portland believe he can be a franchise player?
Yeah.
If they do, they're going to want to keep him, and they're going to want to move on from Dame, one would think.
Yeah.
But really, I think what happens to Dame depends much more on what Portland thinks of Scoot Henderson than anything else, than what they think of Dame, right? Because if they look at him, they go, a lot of questions there, we're not convinced, then you move him.
Yeah, 100%. I also don't think that Portland is a place right now where Dame can win. I think it's going to be a little too hard right now for Dame at the point of his career to win a championship. So honestly, if you're Portland, it's one of those things. If I'm the GM, I'm taking Scoot, and out of respect to Dame,
there you go,
I am going to get rid of Dame and let Dame go somewhere where he can win a championship, because he was loyal to me, so he deserves to go win a championship. So I would let go of Dame and take Scoot and build my team around Scoot.
Now I want to see how you answer this question. Mm-hmm. So let's say hypothetically, you're Dame, okay? Yeah. And I'm the Portland Trailblazers, and I say to you, hey, Dame, instead of us taking the third pick, I want to trade the pick.
Yeah.
And I want to get Zion Williamson to Portland.
Mm-hmm.
Is that enough to keep you staying here?
It's not. I do not think that you adding Zion is good enough to win a championship, especially how good the West is. We just saw the Nuggets. You're not beating the Nuggets. You're not beating the Lakers. You're probably not beating the Warriors, even with Draymond maybe leaving. Right? So I think that it's going to take more than just Zion to keep me.
But would
Portland.
That be a good start? Like, if they were like, look, first piece in, we want Zion, and then we want to put someone like, if a healthy, I don't know who it would be, a healthy Chris Middleton, you know, something, some other
a healthy
piece who's
Chris Middleton.
In other words, like, I can't think of who the player would be at the moment, because I wasn't thinking Kristaps Porzingis to the Celtics, but some player who would be clearly the third best player on the team, but what they need.
Yeah.
Right, something like that. Would that, if they said Zion's the first step, and now we want to also, the idea is to add this other piece. In other words, is it not even a good enough start?
Give him Kyle Kuzma.
No.
That's what I'm trying to tell you.
I just don't think it's good enough.
See, I even find that more of an insult than getting Scoot Henderson.
Yeah.
Like, especially if you're not, like because yeah. I don't, as much as I love Zion as a talent, the best ability is availability.
100%.
And I keep saying 114 games in 4 years. I can't count on
more
that.
Than Embiid played.
That's fine, but we keep using Embiid as the only reference point to a player who's hurt. There are a lot of other players.
Not the only one. I'm just saying, like, there's
an
example.
I know, but he's the one that
a...
everybody keeps coming up. Well, if you stick with it, it could be Joel Embiid. Well, not everybody's going to pan out to be Joel Embiid.
Who was another oft-injured player on this level where it just kept getting worse? I'm trying to think of an example of a player.
Greg Oden.
But Oden was never that good like this. Like, that was a mistake to draft. He was a nice player, but there was a lot of questions. Like, are you sure you want to draft Oden first overall? Right? Like,
yeah.
Because especially height is easy to project, so people get a little lazy sometimes, and it's, you know, it's the highest floor sort of the tall guy. But I mean a guy who, when he was on the floor, was tearing it up. Zion's tearing it up when he's on the court, but just isn't – so was Embiid. Who – I'm trying to think of another example. Grant Hill?
Grant was nasty.
Nasty, but, you know, oft injured, right? Which team needs to nail their pick the most, KJM?
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do, big, small. And when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happen in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio. King McClure, ESPN basketball analyst, hanging out with us. Andrea Carter, ESPN college basketball analyst, with us now. NBA draft starts tonight, 8 p.m. Eastern on ESPN. Morning.
Good morning, guys. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for coming on. Okay, so, you know, obvious question. What do you think about Wembanyama?
Oh, my gosh. What do I not think about Wembanyama? Mm. I mean, he's incredible. Like, being around him, you realize how insightful he is, how thoughtful he is, and just how much time and thought he has put into this process that he has taken to become great. I watch him in absolute amazement at what he's able to do at 7'2". Like, it's the little things, like how he stays on balance when he does a spin move, how he runs a pitch and catch in transition at full speed, like a give and go, right? So imagine at 7'2", running full speed, kicking the ball ahead, getting it back to you, not for a dunk, for a one dribble pull-up. Like, the way that he has to stay on balance to execute the guard-like moves that he's able to make is remarkable. We haven't seen anything like it, in my opinion. His defensive abilities are outrageous. He can stay 4 or 5 feet off of a guard on the perimeter and still recover and block a three-point shot from his defensive stance. I mean, it's cool because, honestly, in my opinion, Victor Wembanyama, we would have been talking about him regardless if he was a paint player that didn't leave the paint, dunked on everybody and blocked shots. We are going to talk about him tenfold right now and also for 10 times as long, because that's not all he does. He
Andrea,
does so much more on the basketball court.
You kept saying 7'2". Now I'm hearing between 7'3" and 7'5", but I haven't heard 7'2" yet. Are you saying 7'2" because that's what he actually is in flat feet, or is he in, you know, NBA 7'2", right?
No, he's like 7'2" without shoes on. So, like, right. put a pair
NBA
of basketball 7'4". Shoes on. Mm. You're gonna get, jeez. Yeah, you're gonna get 7'3", 7'4", maybe even 7'5" if the shoe's right.
Okay, right. So Andrea, all that sounds incredible. I get that he is a unicorn. He is a once in a lifetime type of player. What's wrong with him? Tell me what's wrong. Tell me what he needs to work on, and tell me where are the holes, where are the flaws, are there any?
I don't know if there are. I don't know, J. Will. I really don't. Like, the fact that he can do a little bit of everything and does it all well. Like, he's only going to get better. He's only going to get stronger. Like, I think if you consider it a flaw, like, I don't consider it a flaw that he didn't really lift weights up until this point, right? Like, he's worked with a ton of different skill guys. He worked with Dirk Nowitzki's skill coach and shooting coach, Holger Geschwinder, who's very unorthodox, encouraged him not to lift weights. So you look at him and you're like, oh, well, he's definitely thin in as far as frame goes, and you could see that as a negative. But his durability that he's shown already in the French league that he plays in, to me, I'm just like, when he gets even stronger, he's going to get even better. Like, I don't think there are any holes. I think every hole is filled, and now they're just going to get filled even more. Mm. Like, that's I don't see any. I really don't.
Okay.
Andrea, King McClure here. And the Hornets at the number 2 pick, right? Brandon Miller or Scoot Henderson? Who are you taking? Who do you like more, and why?
You know, it's funny because they have completely different personalities. So, like, I always take that into account, because one could walk in and the team falls in love. The other could walk in and the team falls in love. Like, personality-wise, I do think that is a big factor. But regardless, for me, I'm taking Brandon Miller. Charlotte was at the bottom of the league in terms of percentage of points from threes, three-point field goal percentage, three-point field goal attempts. For Brandon Miller at 6'9", when he is knocking down threes at, what, 38%, Like, that ability alone, that skill set, that size, he can play off the ball. He can play 1 through 4, in my opinion. That's what Charlotte needs. So personality aside, because they have very different personalities, statistically, Brandon Miller has shown he can be a very consistent three-point shooter, and I think that's an immediate hole. Like, if he doesn't do anything else in Charlotte next season except knock down threes, which he's shown he can do, that team is already better for it.
Yeah, I would agree with you, Andrea. I think the ceiling for a guy like him is higher than Scoot Henderson because of the potential of what he could become too. I kind of give that NBA comp of a Rashard Lewis kind of meets a Paul George type player if he can develop that skill set with that size of being 6'10". I am curious, you know, we hear those three names mentioned a ton when it comes to this draft. And people start throwing around speculation that this draft is top heavy. What are some other names that we need to pay attention to that you think could be sleepers in this draft?
Okay, do you want like top 10 sleepers, or you want like 10 through 20 sleepers? What are you looking for?
You just give me some names that stand out to you. Like, I know, like, Whitmore to me stands out from Villanova, right? I think his size and his frame is special. Yep. I think he's going to be a steal in this draft. Give me some other steals.
Okay, yeah, I think Anthony Black is going to be a steal in this draft. Like, he might very well still go top 10, but he's a 6'7" point forward facilitator. He has great vision. He plays 1 through 4. He's not super quick or shifty, but it's like he just glides around the floor and has incredible vision, also skill set to deliver the pass. You know who's a sleeper, in my opinion, like who I really, really enjoy watching play the game of basketball? Ben Shepherd out of Belmont. Say what you want. He is 6'6". He is long. He brings defensive energy. He can shoot the basketball, incredible form. He gets out in transition. I think that for him, I think of him on a team like the Pacers, where he's a late pick. They play really fast. He comes in. He fits right in, getting up and down the floor. Ryan Rupert is another one that I like. He is coming from overseas. His sister, Ileana Rupert, played for the Las Vegas Aces last year, won a WNBA championship. He is defensive-minded. He is a raw talent in terms of offense, but his full-court defensive energy just ignites me when I talk about it. I'm talking sits in a stance, moves his feet, and plays with a ton of energy. Those are guys that I'm telling you, there are guys in this draft that can have – I mean, Christian Brown effect on a team or Bruce Brown effect on a team. If we're talking about the recent reigning champions, where you sleep on them, you pick them a little bit late and they come in and they make a huge impact for a championship level winning team. I think there are guys up and down this draft who can be excellent role players off the bench, maybe even 3-and-D guys at first, and then grow into a role later down the road as their careers go.
Andrea Carter, ESPN college basketball analyst. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Thanks for having me, guys. Enjoy the draft.
Andrea.
NBA draft starts tonight, 8 p.m. Eastern on ESPN. Meantime, big trade in the NBA. That's a big trade.
It is.
Affecting the fortunes of three teams, but two of them in particular. I want to know what Kristaps Porzingis means on the Celtics, what Marcus Smart means for the Memphis Grizzlies. Keyshawn, J. Will and Max, King McClure in for Key right now here on ESPN Radio.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America.
Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Jay, you and I talked about this earlier, King. Porzingis going to Boston. To me, that's the eye-opener, right? We could talk about Marcus Smart in Memphis in a second and the effect he'll have there. But I think that's the second-best big three in basketball right now next to Phoenix. But, you know, they actually have a deeper roster. They're like, I like Boston in the East as of right now. What do you think of the Porzingis move?
I love it because this is what it said to me. It said that there were changes that need to be made. And nobody expected them to do something like this. But they've been to the finals the season before last. And then they lost to the Heat last season in the conference finals. And they need to get better. Nobody expected how they could get better. I didn't know how they could get better. We even talked about it, I think, last time I was on here. We didn't know what moves they need to make. But getting Porzingis not only adds another score, but it just gives you a layer of depth that you didn't have to finally get you over that hump. Because the Celtics had to get over that hump. Because I think we were even talking about maybe splitting it up and getting rid of Jaylen Brown. But they did what they had to do in order to get over that hump. So I love what Boston did. I love Malcolm Brogdon now playing the one or Derek White. Get rid of Marcus Smart. I mean, he kind of limits you from the perimeter a little bit when it comes to shooting, but defensively gives you that toughness. But I love what Boston did. I think this was an excellent move that finally gets them over that hump to contend for a championship.
I think they are probably now the second favorite behind Denver to win a championship. I think it makes them the favorite in the Eastern Conference. I think this is a big three that you're not worried about the gaps around it. You understand where the pieces are and the holes that need to be filled. I frankly trust Derek White's decision-making more than I do Marcus Smart. I do think you lose a little bit of the energy and the heart from the team, but I think it's time for Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown to have that. It's time for those two to step up and say, we all know it's their team, but you need to see that heart and that passion from them as leaders for the next iteration of this team to be a championship team. It's the one thing that you always felt was missing. Like, and I get that certain
players, Smart's personality maybe was holding them back a little because he has a more dominant personality.
Well, that, and I think at times, like, you know, you saw those guys, like, they needed, like, look, there's no doubt, and we talked about this, Jaylen Brown, his ball handling, something that needs to be worked out in the offseason, right? Jason Tatum, like, having that demonstrative attack mode and not becoming small in some moments, we need to see that more consistently from him. So, like, when you remove one piece, it leaves a gap that allows these two players to walk into the door to fill those voids. And I feel like filling those voids is the missing link to a championship team for this squad.
Basically, with Marcus Smart, all the dog that he brought to the table needs to go to Jaylen Brown
and Jason Tatum. Yes.
To simply put it.
It's interesting the way teams operate that way, where there can be even a valuable piece that can get you to a certain point. At a certain point, there can be addition by subtraction. Like, if that personality or whatever he's doing on that team is holding back, like, it aids the development of a young player to a certain point. And at a certain point, they got to assert themselves differently, right?
Yeah.
Maybe it does have that effect in addition to the fact that what you're acquiring is a 7'3". Remember, the term unicorn was originally applied to Kristaps Porzingis because unicorn, meaning it's not supposed to exist. You know, now you've got Wembanyama and this coming in the league, but man, Porzingis can do a lot.
Well, now think about it in transition. I mean, secondhand transition, though, King. Like, you notice, like pushing the ball down the court. If you're not getting anything off that initial attack, you're going right into a ball screen. And if I'm Jalen or if I'm Jason, like whoever's trailing, like I'm going to that strong side all day. Come set a screen over here. Can't leave the strong side. You want to leave the strong side? I'm going to get a wide open shot. So like this summer, catch and shoot, how they execute in the half court, like the pieces just fit.
Yeah, they
and
fit.
Now you have Robert Williams and now you have Al Horford that could be utilized properly. Hey, Robert, be a defensive stopper. Just focus on that.
That's it.
Hey, Al, be a floor stretcher. Just focus on that, and I can use them in stretches.
And they got size, you know?
Yeah, man.
When you look at Denver, right, one of the things they had was they could put a big defender on Jimmy Butler and Aaron Gordon. They have a seven-footer-ish who's controlling the entire game. Man, this team matches up size-wise now with Porzingis, with anyone, really, go position by position.
I'm telling you, we said that this offseason was going to be an arms race. It does make me look at other situations. Like a lot of people, including myself, thought that Milwaukee was good enough to be in the Eastern Conference Finals and be in the NBA Finals. Right. With the way the landscape is looking right now, I don't think they're one of the top teams in the East. And now you're looking at that
one
franchise.
Of the? Not well, I mean, one
they're,
of
they're one,
the?
They're one of the top. I don't think they're – I still think there's room for them to improve.
They have
to
get better.
They have to get better.
They have to get better.
Yeah.
Like, staying stagnant is no longer feasible for them.
By the way,
just re-signing Chris Middleton and bringing back Jrue Holiday, it's not enough.
Even matching up with Philly, now Porzingis just creates a problem for the other defense. It creates a problem for whoever you're playing.
But here's the factor I feel like we're not talking about. Kristaps Porzingis played 65 games last season, which was the most that he's played in about 4 or 5 years.
This is rookie year, I think.
So if he is not healthy, he's not able to play 65 games, then everything that Boston hoped for and dreamed for in this trade honestly goes down the drain.
Yeah.
Because you're not having, like we talked about, the best availability, the best ability is availability.
But what,
you're
who not can having you not available say players. That on a – like I look around the league –
every team you can see.
Yeah, like but in, yeah, it's not yeah, just theoretically, yeah. But you can look at the – Chris Middleton has not been available a lot. That's another contender in the conference, right?
I mean, look at Denver over the last two years before that.
No Jamal Murray. The Lakers, AD and LeBron. Phoenix, all three of those guys have missed a lot of time recently. Who's the top team that doesn't have a guy like that, like a key piece?
But I think Kristaps kind of is in a different category because he's his whole career – he has been known as a guy almost like in that Zion category of a guy who has known in his whole career to be injury prone. So I think you got to look at him at a different light than just a guy like Chris Middleton who's happened to have some freakish injuries or some other players that are the top contenders.
Yeah, with Porzingis, you're hoping if you're a Celtics fan, even if he only gets into 54 games or something, that he's healthy over the last several weeks of the regular season and into the playoffs, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm looking up the number of games he's played in his career.
I think it's his second or third most games. I think the only two times he's played more games than 65 has been his rookie and his second year in the league.
72, 66, then 48. Then he had the ACL. He was out. 57, 43, 51-65.
Okay with that.
Yeah, he's not quite
He's not in the Zion category.
By the way, it's crazy. You look at stars in the league, anyone who plays like 60 games, you're like, oh, yeah, he's basically healthy. 60. Nowadays, you're thinking he's basically healthy because so many guys are in the 50s. Wizards top scorers by points per game. Porzingis,
can I know we're going to talk a lot about just for one last minute. Man, it feels like Washington is just not getting the return value. First off, when you only hear about 10 players in the history of the league having no trade clauses, I get that you want a big name player to stay in a small market team. You know, Chocolate City is a way different city now. Yeah. It's a dope city, but like, you only get that collateral of CP3 who's going to get waived to get Landry Shamet on a bad deal and then you get multiple second round picks and then, you know, some pick swaps. And now with this one, you get the 35th pick and Tyus Jones, like for Porzingis and for Bradley Beal. Like, I get that you're trying to revamp, but damn, that almost seems like malpractice.
I was just thinking that the other day when I saw the Bradley Beal trade, I was like, you know what? In my opinion, I feel like Bradley Beal's value. It's a little more than this.
I feel like they don't give no trade clauses.
I feel like they should. They should have gotten
a little
more.
It was a no trade clause plus the salary that depressed his
value. He forced their hand.
But still, I was like, I feel like, you know, Washington got the short end of the stick, no doubt. And then I see this trade this morning, and I'm like, so Tyus Jones?
Are there going to be major trades tonight? KJM.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.